Oh my, welcome back. Thank you for coming. How delightful. You are interested in options. Good. Let's get started with option attributes and a little bit about their characteristics and valuations and the break-even point. We kept referring to the price at which the stock would be bought or sold, and that's called the strike price, also called the exercise price. So you're going to hear both. You mostly hear strike price. It just seems a little bit more exciting, doesn't it? This is the price, the contract price, between the buyer of the option and the seller of the option. It's the stated price at which you can buy the security with a call option or sell the security with a put option. And traditionally, they used to go in certain increments, $2.50 for stocks selling for less than $25, $5 for stocks less selling from $25 to $200, and $10 increments for stocks selling for more than $200. But pricing is much more flexible now. Some stock options are selling in $1 increments. So pricing is very, very flexible powerful, but just very, there's a lot of options. Ha ha ha, no pun intended, for pricing, for the strike price, for the exercise price. The expiration date is also very important. This is how long your option lives, the date at which the option expires. Listed options always expire at the close of the market on the third Friday of the month of the option's expiration date. Now, what happens on that date? Well, the hour or so before close of the market sometimes becomes very volatile as these things get exercised and everything gets, you know, unwound. So it's called the witching hour. And so it typically was the third Friday of every month where this happened. But now there are weekly options that expire every Friday, as well as stock options. There are also stock index options and stock index futures options we'll discuss later. When all three, stock options, stock index options, stock futures, expire on the same day, it's called the triple witching hour. And so that last hour on that Friday, stock prices can just zoom up and down like crazy because these things have to be exercised or they become worthless, right? After that, they disappear. After that Friday, it's gone. The exercise style is another interesting characteristic because there are two major types of option style, exercise styles, and that's the American option expiration style, and then exercise style, and the European exercise style. Now, American options using the American exercise style can be exercised at any time. You don't have to wait until the expiration date, where European options can only be exercised at expiration. Normally, if you wanted to take a profit from an option that had done well and there was still significant time until the expiration date, you would simply close out the transaction, resell the option instead of actually exercising the option. However, with an American-style option, if you really wanted the stock, you could exercise the option and buy or sell, depending on if you have a call or a put, the stock before the expiration date. And there are other types of options with various provisions. So if you are so inclined, do your research and see if any of the other exercise styles appeal to you. But I kind of like the American option because, I mean, not that I ever involved in options, but I just like the ability, if I wanted to exercise the option, if I were the buyer, which I probably never will be, I would want to be able to exercise it before the day of expiration because, hey, I'm going to lock in a good price when I want to. Now, how do you get quotes on options? Well, there are a few different places, and I kind of don't know if I believe them as much as I do with their stock quotes, such as MarketWatch and Yahoo and CNBC. Usually I trust their stock quotes, knowing that they're, you know, 15 minutes in the past. But if you are so inclined and want to do options, you want to get a broker that you trust to give you up to date quotes. But check out the quotes on MarketWatch, Yahoo Finance, CNBC. There's a presentation that shows how to look for options. The list of available options contracts and their pricings for a particular security has a name. It's called the options chain. I guess it's a whole list of strike prices, a whole list of exercise prices, and then what they're currently selling and what they're currently selling for at any given time. And there's just dozens and dozens and dozens of these things. So that you see a whole page worth of data when you take a look. I think MarketWatch actually does, and CNBC, they show the calls and the puts right next to one another. So it's kind of interesting. Check them out. Now, buying and selling options contracts. There's a little wrinkle here that we haven't been discussing, which is time to discuss it. We have discussed options contracts as if they were traded just as stocks are traded. And in many ways, they are similar. But there's one big difference between options and stocks. Options are sold as contracts. Each contract represents 100 shares of the underlying security. There are no odd lots on the option exchanges, although there's some market makers that will facilitate an odd lot. But no, they're typically sold in 100 share increments because that's a round lot, remember? 100 shares is a round lot. So if the listed price of the option is $5, then you don't pay $5, you pay $500 because it's for 100 shares. Of course, if you bought two contracts, you'd get $1,000. If you were the seller, you'd receive that money because the buyer buys the contract from the seller. So that's one big difference. You're not buying one contract of one share. You're buying one contract of 100 shares. Okay, so remember that. And then the premium, well, the premium is actually the technical term for the price of the option, but most of us grunts just use option price. That's the quoted price, the premium the option buyer pays and the option seller receives. So the option premium is the quoted price the option buyer pays to buy a listed put or call option. And the option seller, the option writer, the option maker, they all mean the same thing, receives the premium immediately and gets to keep it whether or not the option is ever exercised. And did we mention that most options expire without being worthless? Without being exercised, that most options expire worthless? I think we have. And to make matters more confusing, because that's what we like to do with options, the term premium is also used in a more precise manner when valuing options. For this reason, most people always refer to the price of the option instead of the premium of the option. But they mean the same thing. That's the price you have to pay if you want to buy the option, and that's the price you will receive if you're going to receive the if you're going to sell the option. You're going to receive that premium, that price. And now the silliness. It's not that silly, but it's called moneyness, which I guess is a silly term. Is your stock in the money? I'm sorry, is your option in the money? Is your stock option out of the money? Is your option at the money? So what do these three things mean? Well, it depends on whether it's a call option or a put option. So let's do the call option first. An in-the-money call option is a call option with a strike price that is less than the market price of the underlying security. So let's say the strike price, the exercise price, they both mean the same thing, is $50. If the market price of the security, if the company were selling, the company's stock were selling for $54, we would be $4 in the money, which means we can buy a stock for $50, it's actually selling for $54. So that's an in-the-money option. You see? It's worth something. It's worth basically $4. But it will sell for more than $4 just because there's another value called the time value, which we'll get to. The out-of-the-money call option is a call option with no real value because the strike price exceeds the market price. In other words, I bought an option to buy the stock at $50, but it's selling for $47. Why would I do that? I wouldn't buy a stock for $50 if I could buy it for $47. So that option is worthless. It is $3 out of the money. But as we said, it probably will sell for something just because there's time for the stock price to go higher. But right now, it's $3 out of the money. And of course, at the money option has a strike price that is equal to the market price of the stock. So you like those terms? Moneyness, in the money, out of the money, at the money. Kind of cute. Now what happens, what happens if it's a put option? Well, it's the opposite, right? And in the money is a put option with a strike price that is greater than the market price. So if I have a option, a put option, I can put the stock to somebody, I can sell it to them for $50, and it's selling for $46, I'm $4 in the money. I can sell a stock for $54 that's currently selling for $46. So I could turn around and buy it at $46 and then turn around and sell it to somebody for $50. Very cool. An out-of-the-money option is an option, a put option. Out-of-the-money put option is a put option with no real value because the market price exceeds the strike price of the stock. So let's say that strike price is still $50. If the market price were $52, well, that's, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't sell a stock for $50 that I could sell for $52. So my option would be $2 out of the money. Got it? I think it's pretty straightforward, and it's a cute phrase that you can, we're in the money, we're out of the money. Okay, now, let's take a look at the theoretical value of our options on a call option. Let's say the strike price is $50. If it's below $50, we're out of the money. So there's no real value to that call option. And so once we pass the strike price, we start gaining if we're the call option buyer. If we're the call option seller, we start losing. So theoretically, for every dollar above the strike price, the call option buyer gains a dollar, the call option seller loses a dollar. And of course, stocks can go up dramatically. So the call option buyer could, you know, make out like a bandit, could make a lot of money. Doesn't usually happen, but sometimes it does. And the call option seller, well, oh my goodness, they could be losing money as the stock price kept going up. But this is theoretical. Remember, you had to buy the option if you're the call option buyer. So let's say the call option was $5. They had to pay $5 for that option. So once we get below 50, there's the strike price at 50, the call option is out of the money, but he's also paid, or she's also paid, $5 for the option. So they're out $5 as soon as they buy the darn thing. They've got to get to $5 plus the price of the option. That's called the break-even point. Once they hit the break-even point, then the call option buyer starts to make money. Now, the call option seller received $5 and gets to keep the $5 no matter what. So the call option seller is in the money, so to speak, at the beginning. They get $5. Once you hit the strike price and the stock price starts to go up, well, they've started to eat into their profit until they hit the break-even point. And then once they hit the break-even point, now they're starting to lose money. This is the call option. I got this whole thing backwards. The call option seller received the $5. I got the arrows backwards. I got to fix that. Sorry. The call option buyer is this guy down here. He's lost $5. And so he, until it hits the $50, then he starts making money. When he hits the break-even point, then he starts making more money. Once he hits the $50, he's put $5 out. And I'm going to change the arrows, because not the arrows, but the comments, because I messed up the comments. I got them in backwards. But see, I told you, options are confusing. But the call option seller, in fact, I should change the colors too. There's two more things I need to do. I'm going to change the colors, so one's a different color than the others. So here, this guy right here is the call option buyer. He had to put $5 in to buy the option. Once it hits the strike price, now he starts to make money. Once it hits the break-even price, now he's finally made a profit, because he had to put $5 out. So he had to get to 50, the stock price has to hit $55 before he actually starts making any profit. Whereas the call option seller got the $5, yippee, and then once you hit the strike price, it starts, and the price of the stock starts going up. Now he's going to start to lose money until finally he hits 55. That's the break-even point. Anything above 55, now the call option seller begins to lose money. So here's the realistic graphic. All right, and my apologies. I probably messed up on the next one, too. Let's see if I messed up the next one. Because that was the call option. Now, what about the put option? Here's the price, the strike price, 50. And notice the graph is reversed. It's like a mirror. Anything above the $50 strike price is now out of the money. The person would not sell a stock, right, to somebody. Now, I'm getting confused now. Yes, this is out of the money because you'll have to sell the stock for 50. You wouldn't sell a stock that's selling for $50 to somebody for 50 bucks. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. You'd rather, if you had the stock, you'd want to sell it at 55 or 60 or 65. But you want the stock to price to go down if you're the put option buyer. So as soon as it starts going below 50, the put option buyer starts to gain, the put option seller starts to lose. Theoretically, for every dollar below the strike price, the put option buyer gains because you want the price to go down. Because then you can sell a stock for $50, it's selling for 45 or 40 or 35. But that's theoretical. And in the real world, what do we have to do? The put option buyer is down. See, I got the things reversed, right? This is the put option seller up here. The put option seller, and I'm going to change the colors. My apologies. I'll do that. Don't worry. I've already done it by the time you've read this. The put option seller is over here because they made $5. They received the $5 from the buyer. The buyer's down here. He or she had to pay $5. Once it hits the stock price of the strike price of 50 and the price starts to go down, now the seller is starting to lose money. When the stock price hits $45, now the seller has no longer made a profit. They made a profit. Even if it goes down to 47, they still made a $3 profit, right? They made a $2 profit. It goes down to 47. If it goes down to 49, they made a $4 profit, 48, $3 profit, because they got the $5, and now it's going down, 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 until it finally hits the break-even point of 45, and now they start losing more money. As the price goes down. The buyer, on the other hand, had to pay $5, so they're out $5 right off the bat. And as soon as the stock price hits the strike price and starts going lower, well, now they're starting to gain, but they don't hit the break-even point until they hit $5. And then once they hit the break-even point and start going down, now the put option buyer begins to actually make a profit above the option price. So the previous graph ignored the price of the option. The put option buyer had to pay $5 to purchase the option. The put option buyer doesn't reach the break-even point until the stock falls to $45. This put option seller made $5, and once the price starts falling below $50, they start losing until finally it hits the break-even point, and then they start losing any profit they made from the sale of the option. Woo! I'll fix these. Don't fret. And maybe I'm not very good at editing the videos once I've created them. I can attest to that. Okay, slide 29. The time value, also known as the time premium. So there's that word again. They use the option premium for the option price, and then they use time premium for the time value. But you'll hear time value more often. That's the amount by which the option price exceeds the options in the money value. In general, the longer the time to expiration, the greater the size of the time value. If the option is out of the money, then whatever price the market ascribes to that option is due to the time value. In other words, an option that is out in the money will sell for more than the amount it is in the money because of the time remaining until the expiration date. And often, not always, but an option that is out of the money will still have some kind of time value. The option still has time to become worth more as the underlying stock price changes. That's called the time value. And it's certainly an option that is out of the money. If people are willing to buy it, that means it's only worth the time value, because otherwise it's out of the money. It's not, you wouldn't exercise it, but you're just speculating that the price will go up if it's a call option or down if it's a put option. And so you could sell it for higher than what you bought it for or exercise the option. And don't forget commission. Yeah. Oh, are we brokers smarter? What? We see all the money they're making in Las Vegas and the other gambling casinos, so we want to create a casino too, right? In the previous examples, we did not include the cost of commission. The commission is charged. And if you're saying, well, I don't pay commissions, yes, you do. Remember the kickback that's received via order flow or payment for order flow. Whenever an option is bought or sold, and both the buyer and the seller pay a commission, and a commission is charged when and if the buyer exercises the option and buys and sells the stocks, again, both buyer and seller pay a commission. When you include commission, folks, it makes it that much harder to make money in options. But if you're a broker, you'd simply love to have your clients get hooked on options. Postscript. None of my clients trade options. I would do my best to talk them out of it if they asked me to. I would explain to them that they are not investing. They are speculating, which is a fancy term for gambling, and you've already heard it from me over and over again, but it bears repeating. You are gambling. Somebody wins, somebody loses. You might just win. Oh, you'll see all these ridiculous exclamations like, I made 300% in 2 days. And then I lost 100% the next day, which means I made my $100 became, $300 or $400, and the next day it became $0. And that's what happens when you dabble in options. All right, so you're still interested? Okay. Well, next presentation, oh boy, we're going to discuss option strategies. Some of which are just more and more ridiculous ways for you to be charged commissions. And a couple actually kind of make sense for long-term prudent investors, but no, not really. So we'll see you in our next presentation, if you're sticking with us, when we discuss option strategies.